Mr. Cal, how are you?
Rob, doing good. How are you today?
Excellent. Good to talk to you. Let me start there. It was a different position for the Red Wings this year, wasn't it?
Well, it certainly was. And, geez, I've been doing this now with the Wings for 15 years and never had to start a playoff series on the road in the first round. So that tells you how successful the Red Wings have been. But, it's a little bit different right now in the fact that, if this does go to a Game 7, there's a lot of travel between Detroit and Phoenix, and that's something that the Wings haven't really been accustomed to. But, now it's a best-of-three series, and we'll see what happens.
What about the expectations, Ken? Because it was really kind of funny watching them morph. I mean, many in the hockey community was looking at Detroit coming into the Olympic break going, man, they're in trouble. They put this great month of March together. Everybody turns it around and says, oh, no, they're the team to beat. You don't want to play Detroit. Did they bring in a little extra expectation because of that month of March?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been around a while, and I still can't figure things out because, you go through the month of March, and the Red Wings had perhaps the best penalty kill in all of hockey, and then they give up three power play goals in Game 1.
Right.
And how do you figure that? I mean, you just can't do that. And then, Phoenix is having a hard time right now scoring on the power play. So, the penalty kill's starting to come around. I don't know. I mean, it's really strange. I mean, you look around the National Hockey League, and there are a lot of tight series, Rob, and there's no real clear-cut favorite, I don't think. I think parity is mm-hmm. the key in the National Hockey League. All teams are even, and this is a very even series. That last game in Detroit, it really was a 1-0 game. The score was 3-0, but it was closer than what people think.
Let me ask you this, because it is a debatable point. Is parity good? I mean, it is I love the playoffs so far, but there are some out there who say, no, it was better when everybody was chasing a Detroit or an Edmonton or a Pittsburgh. Well, you've been around long enough. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think it's always good to have, four or five that are kind of in it all the time. But on the other hand, I like parity because it gives everyone an equal opportunity to make the playoffs. And I don't think that could be said years and years ago. You had your certain strong teams, like back in the 70s, Montreal was always dominant, Boston. And I think for the fans, or from the fans' point of view, Rob, I think it's great for them to be able to pick up the paper or go online and take a look at the standings in the month of March or late in the month of March and look at their team, and they're in the playoff hunt. And I can remember teams like the Washington Capitals, when they first came into the league, they were out of it by November. So I think parity is good in a lot of ways because everybody's in there to the end, it seems.
Ken Cowell, the radio voice of the Detroit Red Wings, our guest here on the Fan 960, fan960.com. Boomer?
Ken, good to talk to you again. I wanted to get your take on Todd Bertuzzi. We had Helena St. James on a few days ago, and I guess I was just going, it was after one of the Phoenix victories, and it just seemed like there were an awful lot of Todd Bertuzzi, and I just hearken back to his days here, and he was really a guy that you could rely upon to a certain point, but when you really, if he was who you were counting on, you were maybe in a little bit of trouble, and I wondered if perhaps the Wings were in a situation where it was bad news that they were as reliant on Bertuzzi as they were. He's averaging 17 minutes a night, but she said, without Todd Bertuzzi, the Wings might be in trouble. What's your take on what Bertuzzi has brought the Wings this year?
Well, first and foremost is health, and I thought going into the season, I figured, well, if Todd Bertuzzi can play 60 games and get 15 goals, I think, that would be good for this team. He's been healthy. He's one of three players on the team that's played in every game this year, so that's a plus. When the Red Wings had a slew of injuries, he came through with some big games and was really hot for about a two-week span, and that really seemed to give Detroit a lift because at that particular point of the season, not many people were scoring goals for Detroit, and he came up with some big overtime goals that helped the Red Wings pick up 2 points, a couple of those games in overtime. Now, with that said, I think he's got a good position here in Detroit because he is not really the go-to guy here. You look at Johan Franzen, you look at Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg, those are really the key guys that you want the offense from, and Bertuzzi's out there to help those guys out and do what he can out there. So, there's no pressure on Todd Bertuzzi to carry the load, and I think in that regard, he can go out and play his game.
What about Nicklas Lidström? The same is not true for him. He is the rock back there. 25 minutes, almost 26 minutes of average ice. That's a lot for a guy who has defied father time. Is it starting to catch up to Lidström just a little bit?
Maybe perhaps a little bit, but you know what? He's still one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League, and I think you know, you take him out of the Red Wing lineup, and that really hurts Detroit. I mean, these guys, like a Nicklas Lidstrom, you know, are few and far between. And the guy that I look now at maybe being a Nicklas Lidstrom is Drew Doughty of Los Angeles. That guy is unbelievable in how he plays. And, you know, he's good offensively, good defensively. But, you know, when you get to 40 years old, obviously, you know, Father Time's going to catch up with you. But I still think that Nick has some good hockey left in him, and he's very important back there on the blue line for this team.
What about guys like Abdelkader or Darren Helm? In recent years, they've been the guys that have come in and, you know, sparing ice time a little bit, sprinkle them in, and they've provided some offense and some, you know, some energy. More is expected of them now. Are they ready for that challenge?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they enjoy playing. And, you know, in today's cap world, I remember, you know, back in 2000 or 2002, you know, the Red Wings were deep. They had four solid lines. I mean, Thomas Holmstrom was on a fourth line back then. And nowadays with, you know, with the salary cap, you know, most teams in the NHL have two pretty solid lines. But when playoff time comes, it's your third and fourth line players that really can make a difference in a series. And when I look at a guy like Darren Helm or a Justin Abdelkader, and they're two different types of players, both of them can skate, but I think they're key guys that can help a team win the series. And when you're looking for instant energy, those are the two guys out there. So, you know, as they get more playing experience and they get more of an opportunity to grow with their team, you know, they're just going to get better and better. But, you know, they're terrific hockey players, and they can win the battles. And, again, like I said before, they can make a difference in a hockey game from your third and fourth line.
Ken Cowell, the radio voice of the Detroit Red Wings, our guest here on the Fan 960, fan960.com. Phoenix and Detroit tied at two games apiece. Renew their series tomorrow night in Glendale. The awards are being rolled out this week. Today, the Rookie of the Year comes out, and lo and behold, there's Jimmy Howard. And admittedly, he didn't even fall into my conversation for Rookie of the Year until the game notes for that Calgary-Detroit game in early March, and I thought the Red Wings did an excellent job of highlighting him and making sure everybody knew he was a candidate. Was it his season or was it his March that really got him into this race with Myers and Duchesne?
Well, I'll tell you what, coming into this season, I never expected Jimmy Howard to win 37 games. I never expected him to probably play 37 games. This was going to be, you know, Osgood's team, and
sure,
and he was going to get a majority of the starts. And I can recall, I think it was game two in Sweden where Howard really wasn't a very good goaltender in that game against St. Louis. He struggled against the Edmonton Oilers. But then he worked with Jimmy Bedard, our goaltending consultant, and he worked on his game. And he started getting stronger and stronger and getting better. And, you know, he comes out of the crease. You know, I think he was a little bit deep in the net at the start of the year. Now he comes out, he challenges the shooter. So as the year progressed, he was the reason why, you know, the Red Wings made the playoffs. If it wasn't for his solid play, I mean, you looked at his save percentage. I think he was up there at .927, something like that. I mean, the Red Wings wouldn't have made the playoffs. So you mentioned Nicklas Lidstrom before. He's a valuable player, but this season Jimmy Howard came out of nowhere and has really solidified that goaltending position, and I think he's deserving of the you know, the Rookie of the Year award.
Anything surprise you about the Phoenix Coyotes, having seen them four games in a row?
Yeah, their work ethic. I mean, I knew it was always there, but, you know, they got some big forwards, and again, I like their defense. They are very mobile, and they can really get to the puck and get that first pass to the wingers, and that's something that we've seen a lot here in Detroit. You know, guys like Lidstrom and Rafalski and Stewart and Cronwall. So what Calgary's doing, or not? I'm sorry, what Phoenix is doing to Detroit is what Detroit does to a lot of teams, and you know, it's a battle out there. And they're big, strong wingers. They always seem to be in the right positions at the right time, and they work their tails off in the offensive zone. So, you know, I give Dave credit and their team a lot of credit, or Dave Tippett, rather, a lot of credit, because he's done a really good job with that team, and they're a force to be reckoned with. This series is far from over. It's going to be a battle to the end.
Yeah, it's got seven games written all over it, Ken. It really does. And maybe seven games in overtime. Who knows? Before we let you go, want to use your expertise about the Central Division. Can you explain to us, or do you have an opinion on what's happening in that Nashville-Chicago series? Because the Blackhawks just don't look like the same team we saw during the regular season.
No, they could really light it up, couldn't they? And,
yeah,
and now Nashville is just shutting them down. And, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Detroit, you know, a couple times when, you know, the Red Wings had all those scores and then they struggled in the first round trying to put the puck in the net. But, again, Nashville has a terrific blue line core. Pekka Rinne's terrific in goal. And, you know, every time I think it was TSN I was watching. I can't remember what it were versus, but they were showing highlights of the Nashville-Chicago series, and every time a Blackhawk player touched the puck, there was a Nashville Predator on him, on that player, and they have no time and space, and I think that's the reason why that they've been so successful. Is they're not giving the Blackhawks any room, especially in the neutral zone, to get some speed and generate chances.
Ken, always good to talk to you. You're always generous with your time. We do appreciate it. Thanks for spending some time, and hopefully we can catch up to you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.